This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. When it comes to infant mortality rates, Hamilton County and Cincinnati are among the worst in the nation. Between 2009 and 2013, the national average was a little over 6 deaths per 1,000 in the first year of life. For Hamilton County, it was 9.9%, and for Cincinnati, even worse at 12.4 deaths, twice that national figure. Linda Vaccarello writes about the causes and efforts to turn the tide on this woeful situation in this month's Cincinnati Magazine in an article titled, This Is How We Lose Them. Linda joins us this afternoon, along with Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director Ryan Adcock, and Healthy Moms and Babes President and CEO, Sister Patricia Cruz. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Ryan, put this in some perspective for us. How bad is the situation? How much of an impact has the infant mortality rate had on the Cincinnati area?
Sure. Well, we can talk about all sorts of numbers, but I think the most important one is just simply how many babies have we lost. So over the past 5 years, 2010 to 2014, we lost 522 babies. And that's more than the number of homicides in Hamilton County. So you think about a homicide, and we hear about it on the news 4 or 5 times. We hear about it when it first happens. We hear about it when they catch the guy. We hear about it when he's taken to trial and arraigned. We hear from the family. And these infant deaths are really silent in our community. So that number, that 522 over the past 5 years, that puts us in the worst 10% in the country. We've been consistently there for decades. Some years we're near the very bottom of the list. We've been trending positively over the past few years, so we're starting to crawl out of the basement, but we have a long, long way to go still.
Yeah, the numbers did improve recently. I think the ones you released in March, we'd actually dropped under 9 deaths per 1,000. City of Cincinnati, I think, reported they dropped to 9.9 per 1,000 in 2013, and then deaths from unsafe sleep dropped to 3. In 2014. That's all good news, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's not more work ahead, does it?
Exactly. In general, we're losing about 20 fewer babies a year over the past few years, which is wonderful
news.
Which
is great news.
We are still, even with that improvement, in the bottom 10%. So long, long way to go.
Ryan, tell us about Cradle Cincinnati, how it got its start.
Sure. Cradle Cincinnati is a couple years old at this point, and we are not a program. We are a partnership between dozens of programs. So every hospital in town is involved, lots of great social service agencies like Healthy Moms and Babes, who you're going to hear from a little bit later. We have community activists involved. We have high school principals. We have faith leaders. It's really, I think Linda said in her article, everybody in the water. We need everybody helping out with this issue. It's been an issue for too long, and we have 11,000 births every year in Hamilton County. So we want all of them to go well, and we need lots and lots of partners if we want that to happen.
Linda, Ryan was talking about the parable that you described in your article, which is just it's a great parable about a village that discovers all these babies that are floating down the river. So everybody jumps in and they're trying to deal with the situation, and pretty soon they become overwhelmed by the whole thing. And is that the situation that Cincinnati finds itself in when it comes to dealing with infant mortality?
Well, one of the reasons I use that parable is because the parable ends with, you know, somebody jumping out and saying, I'm going to stop whoever's throwing babies in the water. Well, in my view, there's nobody throwing babies in the water. It's a very complicated situation. You can't respond to it with this kind of smug, if only we'd get to the root cause. There isn't one root cause. It's a very complicated situation, and it's one of the reasons that everybody in town has to help.
Now, Sister Tricia, tell us about Healthy Moms and Babes. What's your organization do?
Healthy Moms and Babes is an outreach program for women at risk, childbearing age, who may be pregnant, maybe not pregnant, who need our assistance. Outreach meaning we have a van that goes out into several different low-income communities and at-risk communities, and home visitors that go out into the homes where women are pregnant, and they work on their prenatal education, etc. And critical to a healthy birth and a healthy child. I wish we had more, more home visitors to do what we do and do what we do well.
How many communities does the van go into?
Right now, the van goes to 11 different communities. At one time, it was 17. And because it's a van, because it's mobile, we can, you know, switch and go to different communities as we need to. And the van provides services, pregnancy testing and STD testing and education on prenatal care and postnatal care and caring for one's child in an environment that is all about poverty. And so this may be the first time that these women are hearing what it means to be pregnant and live a healthy lifestyle. And it's all good.
Well, and to build off of what Sister Tricia just said about wanting more home visitors, we actually know how many more we need. So every year there's about 4,500 women in poverty who give birth in Hamilton County. And collectively, all the social service agencies in town who serve those women currently have the resources to get to about 900 of them. So that's about 20%. We need far, far more. The women who go through these programs have better outcomes. The women who go through these programs get the education they need, get connected to prenatal care. And so, one of the things one of the big problems, Linda talked about, there's many, many big problems that need to be solved. One of them is more resources for the social service agencies that work in this space.
Mm-hmm. And poverty seems to be the big issue, Sister Tricia. I mean, that's what you think is causing a lot of this, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Poverty is the issue, not only in Cincinnati, but across the country and across the world. And access and the ability to be an advocate for people. And there are lots of people that just don't have those resources. And we have a lot of work to do in that area. Now, Cincinnati, there are, and I looked up some statistics before I came in, there are 320 plus social service agencies in Cincinnati. You would think that we could do a better job of working together. But, we're all looking at the same nickel. And so we become competitive rather than working together. My hope is that social service agencies can begin to work better together. And I'm willing to put Healthy Moms and Babes out there for that to happen.
Ryan, how important is this collaboration? You were talking earlier about how Cradle Cincinnati is. That's a lot of what you're doing is collaborating, partnerships to make things happen.
Absolutely. So I'll give you an example of where it's starting to work. We at Cradle Cincinnati are pretty obsessed with data. Data helps us understand why these babies are dying. And there are many, many reasons. But there are groups of categories. And one of those is something called safe sleep. So we promote the ABCs of safe sleep. Every baby sleeps safest when they're alone on their back and in a crib. And that prevents things that happen every year, like mom or dad rolling over on their baby when they're sharing a bed with them, smothering it, and waking up to the worst moment of their life. So last year we had literally hundreds of partners rally around 28 different initiatives, all promoting the ABCs of safe sleep, simple message, lots of partners. And we dropped our safe sleep deaths in half locally. So as far back as we measure, we've had 16 deaths a year from this kind of scenario. And after all of this partnership last year, we had only 7. The start of this year is looking good as well. And so we think if we can start to do that around other issues like maternal smoking, if we can start to do that around issues that affect prematurity, like the amount of space in between the women's pregnancy, if we can start to do that about how we address poverty in general, we think that's the solution.
How does smoking impact infant mortality?
Sure. So the vast majority of babies who die in our community, 3/4, in fact, die because they're born too soon, and in many cases, way, way too soon. So anything that impacts prematurity, we're interested in. When a mom smokes, she's much more likely to give birth too early, and she's much more likely to have an infant death eventually. Smoking's bad for you in a lot of ways. It is really, really bad for pregnancy. And so the thing we always encourage moms to do, one simple place to start, if you know someone who smokes and they're pregnant, you know someone who's trying to quit, is to just call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Mm-hmm. And the issue of spacing, that spacing between pregnancies, how does that have an effect on?
This is the surprising one to everybody.
That one does me too. It's like, really?
So we just had the Boston Marathon yesterday. So I'll use this as an analogy. If you finish running a marathon, it's probably not a great idea to pick up after an hour break and just start running another marathon. Halfway through that second marathon, your legs are going to give out, your knees are going to buckle, you're not going to be able to finish the second one. Turns out that's how our bodies work with pregnancy as well. When you finish a pregnancy, it's a good idea to put at least 1 year in between that pregnancy and your next, or else your body has not had time to recover, not had time to recover its resources, and that those pregnancies are much, much more likely to end in preterm birth. The pregnancy, the body doesn't want to complete that second marathon.
Sister Tricia, mm-hmm. how much is education a part of what you do?
It's about 80% of what we do.
It's a big part of what you do.
Absolutely. So important for our women to know that it's okay. We take women exactly where they are. This is not a judgment call. Whatever reason that they're pregnant or they're living where they are, whether they're in a car, whether they're living on the street, we take people where they are and treat them with respect and ask that they walk with us so that maybe they can have a better sense of who they are and self-respect for themselves as they move forward to a healthy baby.
Yeah, so trust is a big part of this. You have to get these mothers to trust you, right?
It surely doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. Surely doesn't happen overnight. So, yes. And so as many times as they can come back to the van and as our home visitors go out into homes, they do that on a regular basis and we'll make phone calls and take them and walk with them just to go to the grocery store to say, you're on food stamps. That's okay. Let's figure out how to utilize your food stamps in a healthy manner for yourself and your baby. And housing and a job and education. It's all part of this whole process for the women that we serve.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Linda?
I was going to say that obviously we know that poverty plays a huge role in this. But one of the points of what CRADL is doing is to help people understand that these are factors that impact everyone and that having a middle class income does not mean you can smoke when you're pregnant and expect your outcomes to be good. And that these are behaviors that everybody needs to adopt. I've certainly been through a lot of very unpleasant conversations with affluent young couples who are adamant that they're going to co-sleep with their baby because that's kind of the line of reasoning that they followed. I've certainly known many women who are kind of fast-track executives who want three kids and they don't want to spread it out over 6 years, so they're going to be having their babies fairly close together so that they can get back on the executive track. And biology doesn't really care how much money you have in your bank account. All of those things impact everybody.
Yeah, I think, Sister Tricia, your point is that poverty sets off a cycle of things, stress, certain personal behaviors that are not conducive to having a healthy baby, that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we do, unfortunately, no matter how you cut the numbers, we still have an eye for mortality rates. So if you only look at women with private insurance, we still have a high mortality rate for the community. If you only look at women in poverty, that rate versus other women in poverty is high. So we have complex problems here in Hamilton County. We have family advocates who talk about their experience very bravely. Some of them have lived in poverty their entire lives. One family that works a lot for us, dad is actually a pediatrician. And so, they do not live in poverty. And in fact, when he tells his story, he says, these are things that I should know. I work in the medical community. These are things that I should share. And, we really do want to make sure that all families, again, 11,000 births last year, that's a whole mix of people that are just as diverse as the community. And, we think these messages need to reach everyone.
Linda.
Well, I was going to say that, and it's not just childbearing age people. If you're a grandparent, if you're a mother-in-law, and you don't understand the safe sleep practices, you're not doing anybody any good if you don't understand what everybody needs to be practicing if you're interacting with a young family.
Well, and some of these are all these are personal issues, whether you smoke or not, your sleeping habits, with your child, how far apart you are having kids. I mean, all these are personal things. That has to make it a little bit tougher to convince people to change their attitudes.
It is, absolutely. Right. I mean, we try to make all of our messaging as personal and, to Sister Trish's point, as judgment-free as possible. We do know that some of the most powerful advocates out there for us are moms of these moms, you know, so grandma has a big role to play. One of the reasons we've engaged the faith community through the First Ladies Health Initiative is that female leaders in churches have a big role to play. You know, if we have folks out there who are trusted voices, then we think those are the people who are best going to deliver these messages.
To Ryan's point, this is such a complex issue in that Cincinnati. My hope is we'll realize and come to terms with the fact that this is not putting a Band-Aid on anything. This is providing resources that we need to lift the game of our entire city, because if we don't take care of our babies now, the next generation is going to be worse off and will be a detriment to the city of Cincinnati and to Hamilton County.
So we did a economic impact study earlier this year on the cost of preterm birth to our community. That's been done nationally, and it often focuses just on healthcare costs. So preterm birth is extraordinarily expensive. You picture babies in the NICU on these ventilators, and that's a huge cost. It costs about $93 million a year for our community. But we wanted to look out further than that. These babies eventually grow up. So in our school systems in Hamilton County right now, there's 20,000 kids who were born preterm when they were born. In our workforce, there's 60,000 adults who were born preterm. So when we talk about issues of poverty, when we talk about issues of joblessness, when we talk about issues of education, these things are all tied to our high preterm birth rate. And we think that the total cost each year for our community amongst all those areas is about $402 million. So this goes beyond just, cute babies. We want to work on cute babies. You know, it really impacts our entire community.
Linda, there was a state lawmaker you interviewed, Shannon Jones, wasn't it, who had a similar argument to what Ryan was saying about the benefits economically into the entire community of reducing preterm births.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, her point is that if you're so soulless as to just put it in financial terms,
yeah.
there is a huge
cash.
Financial issue here.
Yeah. That is amazing. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Linda, who are some of the key local leaders who are working on this issue? Todd Portune, I think, is one. Wendell Young is the other.
They're the representative from the county and the city who have worked together on this. And you know, we all know that there are lots of situations where the county and the city have struggled to work together, but they've both just really stepped up and have made it a very personal mission to, you know, to work this out as well as we can possibly work on it, because it's not just a city issue. It's not, you know, just a county issue. It's a very fluid situation that impacts everybody.
And didn't Wendell Young get involved because he realized his own neighborhood was a place where there was a high incidence?
That really pained him that he realized that. And Todd Portune has, you know, had a child who had some issues when she was born, so he saw the reality of that.
We couldn't have two better leaders for this effort. They've really been extraordinarily actively engaged, and yet humble. They know when they're talking to whether it's medical experts or community leaders. They know when to sort of take direction from those folks on certain issues, and yet they've steered us in a great direction. So we're super thankful for them.
Elena, what kind of efforts are going on at the state level in our legislature to deal with this? Again, I think Shannon Jones is leading the way on a lot of this, isn't she?
Yeah, and I think there's some changes. Ryan, could you give us the most up-to-date kind of look at what's happening at the state
There's
level?
A lot. So state policy is an important part of this, and Shannon Jones has been leading the way along with a legislator named Charlotta Tavares from Northeast Ohio. And the two of them have been big advocates. So lots of things around promoting safe sleep. There are changes to the way that Medicaid is being addressed, especially in what they're calling hotspots in the community, which parts of Hamilton County are what the state has identified as hotspots. They want to give extra care through Medicaid to those hotspot areas. They've said very clearly they want more of the kind of services that Healthy Moms and Babes provide, and in fact want to get to all 4,500 of those women in poverty, not just 900. We need players like the state if we want to bring this stuff to scale. You know, there are amazing things happening with small groups of moms right now. But if we want to reach all of them, we need folks like the state and even the federal government. So the federal government came in, last year and they said, we love all the collaboration that's happening. And they've set up shop with a program that's now called Cradle Cincinnati Connections and is actually just getting started this week. That's trying to, focus on four zip codes on the west side of town. And so we're super excited that not only the city and the county, but the state and the federal government are getting involved.
One of the interesting things that Shannon Jones mentioned is that at the state level, they're working very hard to keep a grassroots focus, which Cradle Cincinnati is clearly structured that way. But across the state, when they would like to be able to support programs that kind of are generated to meet in a grassroots fashion to meet the local differences. Ohio has also a poor infant mortality rates in some very rural areas. Well, how you do outreach in rural areas, mm-hmm. what some of the cultural issues are in rural areas can be very different than what we're trying to address in an urban area. And so there's going to be some differences in what's going on in Ohio too, but that has to do with the fact that it's a state with a lot of different kinds of hotspots.
We know that that's even true on a kind of a hyper local level. So we've done some studies recently that show that the reason babies are dying in Price Hill, for instance, are different from the reasons babies are dying in Avondale. So to give you an example, 28% of moms smoke during their second and third trimester in Price Hill, off the charts, one of the highest rates in the community. In Avondale, far fewer moms smoke, but far fewer of those pregnancies are spaced closely together. And so we need different areas of focus for different communities. And what's so great about programs like Healthy Moms and Babes is they're so personal and they're so on the ground level that they can go in and address whatever the needs are of that specific family.
Let's talk with Janice in Redding. Good afternoon, Janice. How are you?
Fine, I'm good. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad to have an opportunity to speak. I don't want to say where I work, but I work with a lot of women who are young women who are having babies here in Hamilton County, mm-hmm. and a lot of them don't really understand the importance of the paternity of the child, and it's aggravating for me. And I want to know if that's brought up with them as far as their children, them and their children, if paternity ever brought up.
Okay. So in other words, what role does dad play in all this, right?
Got to play a role in this too.
Yeah. Thank you, Janice. We appreciate the question.
You know, that's one of the things that Wendell Young has talked about. He, you know, talking about the next phase of this, looking at ways to incorporate fathers to help them understand the role they can play.
And I think beyond just fathers, one thing we know that is hugely important and makes a huge difference, and science is just emerging on this, but when women feel more supported, when women have more social support, if they have probably ideally the father of the child, but if they also have an aunt or a mother or a group of friends who they can really rely on, they really feel like they have that support during pregnancy, they actually have better outcomes. They have less stress during their pregnancy. And they have, more, not only social support, but sometimes that leads to other kinds of support. And so we do know that mom needs that helping hand many times, whether that's father or another role.
I believe that those workers that are out in the field working with the moms and even on the van are very encouraging that dads be part of this whole process of education as much as anything else.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for being here this afternoon. Ryan Adcock, Cradle Cincinnati Executive Director, Sister Patricia Cruz, who's President and CEO of Healthy Moms and Babes, and Linda Vaccarello. Her article in this month's Cincinnati Magazine is This Is How We Lose Them. You can find a link to that at WVXU.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.